Hello and welcome to Bishop Ato Dixon's podcast. Bishop Ato Dixon is a true son of Bishop Dagwood Mills and the convener of Jesus is the Rock Church, a denomination under the United Denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Listen and be blessed as he shares with you deep messages from the Word of God.
Holy Spirit, we pray that you will reign. You reign this morning. Have your way, Lord. We've not come, Lord, just to follow the status quo, but we have come to worship you. We have come, Lord, because of you. You are the reason why we are here. And we want to say thank you. Thank you that it's not just a mere formality, Lord, but it's because our heart is deeply in love with you. We love you because you first loved us. We love you because you extended your love for us when we didn't deserve. This morning we pray that be glorified in our meeting, be exalted in our midst. Let no flesh glory in your presence. Let the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower, be hallowed. Father, I pray that as we go into your word, open our eyes so that we behold wondrous things out of your law. Lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead us to still waters. Lead us to green pastures that will be nourished, Lord, and will deliver as believers in our world filled with wickedness. We will shine and will shine your glory. We will let our light so shine before men that they may see the works of the Lord in our lives and give glory to you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, and all said amen. Hallelujah. Somebody give Jesus.
Glad when they said unto me. Oh, look at the person and tell him, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Turn to another person and tell him that the best place you can be on a typical Sunday morning is in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now put both hands together. Let's celebrate Jesus. Amen. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I'm speaking on the subject, if you love the Lord, you will obey him. Amen? If you love the Lord, you will obey him. Say after me, if I love the Lord, if I love the Lord, I will obey him. Hallelujah. One of your expressions of love to the Lord is to obey him. Amen. Is to obey him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, I'm reading the New Living Translation version. The Bible says that, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. But those who obey God's word truly, the word there is truly. Other versions say verily. Other versions say assuredly. In other words, what the Bible is saying that when you say that you love the Lord, what will be seen with your life is that you will live in total obedience to him. Amen. You will live in total obedience. total obedience to him. That is how we know we are living in him. You want to know how you are living in the Lord? Then you must know that a person who is living in the Lord is a person who obeys him. Amen. And most of the time, our obedience as Christians are selective. Yeah. What we call obedience is what is termed selective obedience. Yeah. So it's like you are eating granite, you know, and then you begin to select the ones that are not good, you put it on the side. And the ones that you feel are good, that is what you eat. So it is based on your feeling, how you feel and what you feel about the instruction that the Lord is commanding you to obey. Amen. But I pray that God will help us not to be selective in our obedience, but we are going to be holistic in our obedience. There's a difference between being holistic in your obedience and being selective in your obedience. Amen. Now, the Bible is saying to know how you are living in him, the signs are very obvious and clear that you would display a sign of holistic obedience. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, it says, but those who obey him, which means that there are those who do not obey him. Amen? Oh, I said amen? But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Amen. And so, obedience to God is truly a proof. It's a proof. Now, you'll find out that people would say that if you love me, show me a proof. Have you heard that statement before? Have you heard that statement before? Amen. Have you heard that statement before? If you love me, I want to see the love. I don't want to hear just mere words. Amen. If you love me, you will show it. And sometimes you are fortunate enough for the person who says he loves you to tell you the things, you know, that shows that he loves you. Sometimes you might not know. Sometimes you're in love with somebody and you truly don't know what to do to make the person feel and know that you really love him. I don't know if you have been there before. I don't know if when you saw your beautiful young wife, she made a statement to you that if you say you love me, show me the proof. There must be a proof. There must be something that really points to the fact that truly you love me. Some may tell you that if you love me, cook for me. At least you are fortunate enough to know that he's told you that this is what means love to me. Is that not the case? Yeah. Some may also say that if you love me, you must always smile. Even when things are not fine. Even when you don't feel like smiling, smile. Amen. Some too will say, if you love me, give me a very beautiful card. Yeah.
one thing that I discovered when I was in a relationship with my wife, one key thing that I discovered was, I thought that, look, money is money. It's like you buy this, you buy that, you buy that. Her birthday, you buy this, you buy that, you buy that. Look, you can buy, if you don't add a car to it, you've done nothing. Yes. Well, that was then. I think now she's grown up. Yeah. And so I was doing my best. And I was amazed to know that she cherished and appreciated the things that I did for her. You know? But without a card, it was like the expression of the love was not complete. Wow. So I noticed that the best way to express my love for her was to give her cards. And when I noticed that she likes cards, I said, you, your room will be flooded with cards. Hallelujah. So you might be fortunate for the person to tell you how to express your love for him or for her. But unfortunately, there are some people, they may not be able to tell you, and they will not even tell you what it is. And so it's so difficult to love them. But thank God that Jesus Christ clearly has shown us what, when we do, expresses our love for him. You know, when you love somebody, you don't express it on your terms. You must express your love on the terms of the person you are trying to express your love to. Did you hear what I just said? Some people serve the Lord on their own terms. You know, I'll pray once a year. It is prayer. I mean, the word of God, I will not read the word of God. I mean, it's okay. Once a year, when I come to church, first Sunday of the year, 31st night, I love the Lord. Okay? So it's a form of expression. But that expression is on your terms and it's not on his terms. So there are people who are serving God and loving God on their own terms. But I came to tell you that if you want to express love to the Lord, you must express it on his terms. On his terms. And one of the terms is that if you love me, then you will obey me. Then you will obey me. Hallelujah. And John puts it so beautifully. He says that, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely, you see, the love is complete. The love is holistic. The love is total. How completely they love him. And I'm telling you that if you love the Lord, his commands will not be burdensome to you. Yes. I can see clearly many Christians today, the command of God's word is burdensome to them. Oh, yes. It's burdensome to them. Obeying God in certain areas is a burden. Amen? Yeah, it's a burden. I mean, he would have to speak, he would have to talk. The word will be there showing clearly, but you have your terms. You know, I can't overstretch myself. I cannot go beyond my elasticity. And then use big words. The Bible says that we should be wise as serpent. I mean, God knows that I love him. Hallelujah. Yeah, one time a guy had a beloved, and the wife was complaining that you'd never tell me you love me. And one of the ways by which I can feel your love is to tell me that you love me. And the guy told her that, listen, when we're standing and exchanging vows, I said I love you. And it has not changed. If it changes, I'll let you know. Wow. If
If it changes, I'll inform you. I'll let you know. As far as I'm concerned, it has not changed. Why are you trying to force me to say I love you? You know that I love you. Wow. But thank God for Jesus. He's clearly stated it, that if you want to express love for me, then you need to learn to obey me. Hallelujah. May you be an obedient child of God. May you be humble to obey you as he instructs you. May you be humble to obey him even when it's so difficult and it's so hard. When you take a person like Abraham was one day in his house when he had a visitor. When the visitor came, he said, well, I'm coming from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord is saying that you have to move on. You have to come out from among your family members. You have to come out from among your brethren. You have to come out from among your colleagues. I am going to show you a place you should go. And you see, when you receive such an instruction and you are married, you are not the only person involved in the instruction. Your wife is involved. Your children are involved, if you have. And your dependents are all involved. I mean, if you have all these people you are taking care of, you must have a plan. There must be a plan. You cannot just come and tell me that I should move out of my family house. There must be a plan. You must give me notice. God, give me notice. But here you see Abraham. The Bible says that he responded. He responded, you know, and he obeyed and he got out. And when you read from Hebrews chapter 11, let's look at the verse 5 down. I just want us to look at a scripture verse. He says that by faith, let's look at Enoch. He says, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So Enoch pleased God. All right? The Bible said, but without faith. And always remember that obedience is faith. Obedience is faith. Obedience is faith. Let's say, anything that will generate faith, it comes through your obedience to the instruction. Oh, yes. So it said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the seven says, by faith. You just listen to this. I'm just trying to help us to see, you know, the heroes of faith. The things that they obeyed that made them men and women of faith, that made them lovers of God. They were not ordinary things that they obeyed. They obeyed things that were beyond what they thought would have been beyond their capacity, beyond their ability. He said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to saving of his house. Oh, yeah. I mean, this man is not a trained ark builder. But when the Lord told him to build, he built. Yeah. Some of us will say, but God, don't you understand? I mean, how am I going to? Where am I going? I have to go to Germany. What money do I have to go and see people who build? I have to go to Indonesia. I have to go to the Philippines. I mean, God, what are you talking about? I mean, if you've called me to build an ark, why? Why? Why, oh God? Why do you look at me? I'm an old man. And you begin to list out the factors why you cannot obey. Look at my situation. Look at my circumstance. I'm an old man. I don't have any
energy anymore. But the Bible says that he obeyed. He obeyed. This is a clear sign of someone who loves the Lord. It may cost you something. And the Bible says that prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned righteousness, which is by faith. Eight. By faith. Everybody say by faith. By faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed. Look, Abraham, his life was a life of one obedience after the other. It wasn't just obeying one thing. It's not the obedience of one thing that made him the father of many nations. There were several things. There were many things that he had to obey. Hallelujah. The first thing he had to obey was to come out from his father's house. Why? Because his father's house was a house of idol worship. Now, if God is going to make you a great nation, you know, you need to break away from idol worship. And when I talk about idol worship, sometimes we just look at certain names that we mention, places that we know, you know, for idol worship. But some of us, and most of us, have idols in our lives that we cannot let go. Some of us, our idol is the work you are doing. Now, the truth of the matter is that work, it ends here on earth. So you must try as much as possible not to let that work stop you from doing the ultimate work that God expects from you. That work you are doing is to survive on earth, to do something, be a blessing to people, and be a blessing to the kingdom. But there is an ultimate work expected of you. And I think that that purpose is what must drive you even when you are engaged in the work that you do in the secular. Hallelujah. Yeah. Abraham was a fantastic man. I mean, he's a good character to follow. He's a good personality in the Bible to learn from. Come out. Come out. From among your people. Come out. And then he began to consider, I'm sure, how would my wife take it? Some of you have been disobedient because of your wife. Yeah. Yeah. One day, a guy was in the church, and then a man of God was raising funds. A white man. You know, and when the man of God mentioned the figure, the white man was standing up. Then the wife pulled, sit down. What do you mean? What do you mean? You know? But the truth of the matter was that Bishop said he had seen that the wife pulled. And then after service, the lady came to Bishop and said, "Oh, Bishop, your word was very powerful. Oh, we were so blessed. In fact, we are going through some things and we are looking forward to contributing to the money you were raising." I said, "Look at you, hypocrite. Hypocrite. Hippopotamus." You know? But the prophet has just seen that the guy pulled this thing down. And so sometimes you will notice that because of your spouse, you disobey. And I'm telling you, hey, during judgment, you will see that there's nothing like marriage. It is during judgment day that you actually see that marriage doesn't work here. And the marriage is for the earth. The main person we are going to marry is the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ. And all of us would have been converted to brides. Both male and female will be converted to brides. It's wonderful. Constance,
You will be a bride. Yeah. We'll all be the bride waiting for the master. Hallelujah. So the temporary arranged coexistence and the is it coexistence plus a covenant? Or covenant plus coexistence. You know, at time can you see that there's a covenant, but you can see that these two people is the fear. It's just the fear of saying that we don't want to live together again. That's why they are living together. You can see in the marriage. Sometimes when you are counseling, you see, I've been counseling. When you are counseling, you see that no, this thing, the heart, those, one heart is here, another heart is here. It's just that, Charlie, let's just, you know, and it's not an agreement, too. It's not like they are sad to agree to say that let's stay together. But what it is that, you see, what will people say? What will people say? That's it. So you are inside the thing, but you are not inside the thing. Your carcass is in the thing, but your heart is somewhere else. Do you know carcass? Carcass is your body. That's why God was demanding when he said that if you want to express love, I don't just need your carcass. I need your heart. I need your attention. I need your mind. I need your strength. I need your energy. I need every part of you. Totally of you. Hallelujah. So Abraham obeyed God and he left. At another time, the Lord appears to him and then he tells him that, look, I have not forgotten about the promise that I made. You are going to be the father of many nations. And this guy was still barren. How many of us would have given up? How many of us would have said that the Lord has promised, but he has failed? So far as the end has not yet come, you have to wait and embrace the promise. It will surely come to pass. Amen. And then here we are. Sarah takes a seed. The baby is nurtured, carried for 9 months, and the baby is born. And at birth, as a child grows, there is also another level of obedience that must be executed. Now the Lord places a demand on the baby and the child that he had given to him. And he said, well, Abraham, I need your child. You know, and I really like Abraham for the ability to convince the wife. Some of us, we can't convince our wives. And we bring our wives as excuses. You see, but my wife doesn't support this thing. You know, Bishop, I'm trying to do something for the Lord, but my wife or your spouse, my spouse doesn't support this thing. But it was never written anywhere that Abraham's wife resisted and Abraham decided that he will not do it. Abraham had a way of convincing. And in fact, it was even confirmed in Genesis chapter 18. God said, I know Abraham. He said, I know Abraham. Oh, I know Abraham that he will command his household. He will command his household, which means that all throughout the instructions, it was commanding. He was commanding. Why are you commanding me? He's commanding you because he's the commander in chief in the marriage. That's what it is. Whether you believe it, you don't believe it. Whether you like it or you don't like it. The man is the commander in chief in the marriage. There are things you may not like, but you have to follow. Bishop, why is it every time you are saying for the men? I'm preaching scripture. I'm preaching the Bible. Look at it. Genesis 18, 19. Let us read it, congregation, all together. Ready? Go! For I know who. Look, when God says he knows you, it shows the kind of intimacy you have.
It shows the kind of relationship you have. It shows the level of obedience you have shown. It shows how close he is. He said, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. You see, that when he commands them, they will not rebel. When he commands them, they will not resist. When he commands them, they will keep the word. To do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Yeah. Look, if you're a man, you don't have control over your home. You have a problem. Yes. You have a problem. You must have control. You must be in charge of your home. Even if you are living with a witch, you must be in control. Am I helping somebody? Or can't you learn something from Abraham? Yeah. You know, we are all human beings. I mean, God has created us in our image and likeness. We are all human beings. I mean, why would you try and be in charge? Well, God made a man in charge. Whether he's a fool or he's wise, he's in charge. That's why when you are choosing the chief executive of your life, you must choose the right person. Don't be affected by sympathy. Some people have married out of sympathy. Yeah. Out of sympathy. Oh, Charlie. I mean, the guy. He's lost the mother and the father. He lost the father and mother when he was 6 years. I mean, I don't know, but I always feel like cooking for him. So I want to live with him forever and keep cooking for him. You will live with him forever and cook for him. But I'm telling you that shouldn't be the basis for which you make your choice. Because some of the women, they are very, very emotional. I mean, I don't know. You are so emotional. Your decisions are all, the mind doesn't come into all these things. Oh, Bishop, this morning you are facing the women. Well, I'm reading the Bible. Hallelujah. Can you see the scripture? Yes. So the Lord knew Abraham. And you can see clearly that, I mean, to the point that Abraham believed that if God is taking away from me that which he has given to me, he can still make provision. His son said, Father, we have come to the mount. This is the firewood. This is the knife. This is everything ready for the sacrifice. Where is the lamb that shall be sacrificed? And listen to what Abraham said. He says, the Lord shall provide. The Lord. And truly, because of his level of faith, he knew that, well, he says I should take my son. But I don't know what he's up to again. He will surely provide. And God will provide. My duty is to obey. And his duty is to provide. Sometimes we draw a condition for God. And we tell the Lord that if you don't provide, I will not obey. You have taken your rebellion over your mother and father, over your mother and father, to God also. If you don't pay my school fees, I will not pound the fufu. That is not even school fees. I want to buy a lewa. If you don't give me a lewa, I will not pound. My mother, you can go. Yeah, you can go. By the time you are back, he will call. Mumbobo Somano. They will cook your banchi and body for you. You know, they will pound it halfway. So when you come, you can't eat it as a ampesie. And you cannot also eat it as fufu. So you are bound to pound it and eat it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She won't struggle with you. She will not. She will leave your soup for you. Hallelujah. Our love for him shouldn't be conditional, because his love for us was not conditional. The kind of love the Lord offered to us had no conditions attached to it. And your love for him, your obedience to him, must not be based on condition. Lord, I'm not well. When I get well, I will obey. And that is what you see when people are on their sick bed. Have you heard of stories like that? I have been a pastor for quite a long time, and I've had people, as I've done hospital evangelism, I've come into contact with people who would say that, you know, pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. The doctors are saying that the condition is not that good. But pray for me, pastor. When you pray for me and I get well, number one, meche wadi. You see, when they say that something stirs up in you, that no, a certain ebufukronkron due to holy anger comes inside of you, that this guy says he's provoking an anointing. And so you are determined that, Lord, there must be a miracle because I'm waiting for something. That is number one. Meche wadi. And number two, look, I will serve the Lord. I will preach the word. I will support with my money. And then I will also preach the word. I have seen such people come out of their hospital bed and they easily forget. They forget. It seems like, he is bigger and mightier than you are. He's greater. His wisdom is far beyond your wisdom. Your wisdom is too small to trick him. Hallelujah. Abraham obeyed. Abraham obeyed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says through his obedience was counted for him righteousness. You know, so that is how come when God is dealing with characters and personalities like that, you know, you can see that he's not just joking around with such people. These are people who have gone through pain. They have gone through temptings. They have gone through trials. They have gone through challenges. But in the midst of it all, they didn't give up. They didn't give up. May you not give up on your faith in the name of Jesus. I said, may you not give up on your faith in the name of Jesus. Yeah. If you're a Christian, you are tempted sometimes to give up. Because the thing that a colleague Christian would do, you wonder whether he's a Christian or he's not a Christian. Have you experienced that before? But you see, as you are saying that, you should also remember that you have also done something that somebody is also wondering whether you are a Christian or you are not. So you don't even have the moral strength and the moral right to rise up against somebody and judge him and say that, oh, sorry, I'll say you're a Christian. Because you have also been doing it. The only thing is that maybe the person has not brought it up. Amen. And so your obedience to him is a sign of love. All through our scripture, when we go through the book of Hebrews, all the men and women of faith, the things they did it, you know, because they believed and they had love for the Lord. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. So you will have to express your love by obeying. Turn to somebody and tell him that if you want to express your love to the Lord, the first sign God expects of you is to walk in obedience. Hallelujah. Number one, if you love the Lord, you will keep the word of God in your heart. You will keep it. You will keep it in your heart. And then you will obey it. Amen? 1 John 2:5 says that, But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. But I really like the New Living Translation version. I'm not too sure what the Message Bible says. Can we look at the Message Bible? What the Message Bible says. It says, but the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. You see, which means that love gets to its maturity when you keep God's word. See, when you are given a mango that is not mature, it is mango, but it can give you problems. How many have eaten mango boom before? Every child likes mango boom. True or not true? Yeah, even grown-ups. And when you eat that mango, inside is white. And you see the child is eating it. It's so sour, but he's eating it. Because it's not ripe, it can give you problems. It can give you tummy upsets. But when the mango is ripe, it gives you nourishment. Hallelujah. When you dispense a love that is mature, it brings satisfaction. Some of the love we express is immature love. That's what the Bible is saying, according to Message version. Okay? It says that, but the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we are in God. So to be sure you are in God, you express love through obedience. Yes. Look, so let me tell you, brothers in Christ, if you are a Christian, your desire and your determination must be to obey him. To obey him. Look at Job chapter 36, verse 11. Job 36, 11. I love that scripture so much. It says that, Job 36, 11. Put it up. If you shall serve him and obey him. All right? He said, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. How many want to spend your days in prosperity? Oh, yes. Now, I'm showing you how to spend your days in prosperity. This is how to spend your days in prosperity. Number one, obeying him. Number two, serving him. When you serve him and you obey him, you spend your days in prosperity. And their years in pleasure. How many want to spend your years in pleasure? Hey, because Shale, as you are advancing in age, you begin to see the cracklings of the bones. See, you are a handsome man, but Shale, when he's getting up, it's not that he's jaying skills. The guy can't stand up. If you make a mistake and give him a chair that is low, he will sit there till everybody is gone before he tries to struggle to stand up. Yeah. You see the ladies, their knee, the ladies, their own starts from the knees and they are here. Yeah. The knees, yeah. Because the weight on the knee is making them have problems there. Ladies. Ladies, here. The men, here. And they're here. Do you get it? So when you start seeing those signs, tell yourself that I need to lose weight. No, you just think about it. This bone is what has been carrying a weight that was 49. This same bone is now carrying a weight that is 106. What do you mean? What do you mean? Overload. And when you take overload, have you seen that sometimes these trucks will have overload and then the truck will just turn like that? How many have seen some before? That's what is happening to you. You say that the car lacks alignment. It doesn't lack alignment. The problem is the load is too much. You should hear the ladies. I've given four children I've carried four children. Look, the person is just helping you by telling you that lose weight, your knee, there's a problem. There's going to be a problem. Why? Are there mehun yawa kono biomana? Are there when I don't go bintina? Oh, no. It's just something simple. Something says it's a piece of advice from a loving husband. Just obey and listen and don't react. Be wise. You see, because it's the same knee you bring to church that deliverance time we should deliver. Why is the weight? Once the weight goes, even some prayer, we would rather pray for souls to be won in Madagascar instead of praying for your knee to go.
Keep preaching.
What do you think? Hey, the gentleman. Hallelujah. Number two. So when you love the Lord, you will actually obey his word. And you keep it in your heart. Say after me, if you love the Lord, if you love the Lord, you will keep his word. You will keep the word of God in your heart. Where you keep the word of God is also very important. Where you keep it. Some of us, we have kept the word of God in our head. We will forget it. Yeah. You know, where you keep your money is very, any treasure, where you keep it is very important. True or not true? Oh, yeah. Some people, as I speak, they have this heavy metal in their home where they keep very valuable things. Yeah. So that if an armed robber comes, me, it's not my fault. I don't have the key. You can carry that metal away if you want to, and you can. So where you keep valuable things is very important. Yeah. If the word of God is of great price to you and value to you, the Bible says that out of the heart, all right, is all the issues of life. You keep the word of God there. How do you keep the word of God? You meditate on it. You think about it. You memorize it. And you think about it until it enters the heart. That is how the word of God moves from here to here. That's why Christians of today cannot quote scriptures. They can't quote scriptures because they like to read the word of God instead of meditating the word of God. And as they meditate and then they try to memorize it, it moves from here and it goes here. And once it gets here, it comes out. You know, it comes out. It's not a memory thing anymore. You have kept it in a very important vault. And that place, anytime you want it, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as you open your mouth and you speak, what has been kept here is what is coming out. Yeah, what is coming out. Are you going to obey the Lord? Are you going to keep his word? Bishop, what should we obey? The word of God, the Bible. The Bible. What the Bible tells you. And the Bible tells us a lot of things about many things. The Bible tells us a lot, even Jesus Christ. Just obeying Jesus Christ and what he left behind for us to do. Amen? When you read Matthew 5, the Bible talks about many things that Jesus wants us to do, the Beatitudes. I mean, it's there. You can go and read it for yourself. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, you live on earth. As for you, your nickname is No Mercy for Sobibor. That's your nickname. No Mercy for Sobibor. I mean, your husband, you can't have mercy on him. Your wife, you can't have mercy on him. Your child, you can't have mercy on him. Hey, this child of mine has disgraced me in front of all her aunties, and I'm going to make sure that she will pay back. You will pay back. You are fighting with your child as if he is your co-equal. Well, your child is not your co-equal. Yeah, he's not your co-equal. Hallelujah. Number two, if you love the Lord, you will keep his commandments, which are not difficult. The commandments of God are not grievous. As you go through life, you will discover for yourself that disobeying God is far more difficult than obeying Him. True or not true? Yeah. Disobedience is far more grievous than obedience. Disobedience will lead you to sorrowing, regretting, and mourning. Obedience will leave you elated and rejoicing at the goodness of the Lord. Yeah. Look, if you have been a Christian for a while, you will notice that to obey is much easier than to disobey. Yeah. When you disobey, the consequences are wilder. But when you obey, the blessings are wilder. May you choose the blessings over and above the disobedience. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, "For this is the love of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous." Other version says, "His commandments are not burdensome." One interesting thing is that, you know, once the element of love is in operation, all the commands becomes very light. You see, when you love somebody, whatever he tells you, you are happy to do it. Yeah. Oh, Pastor Nat. Is it not the case? Yeah. Has there been times when Lady Pastor Eugenia has said that, "Please, can you bring me lunch?"
Yes, Daddy.
And you were in the middle of a meeting, but she says she wants lunch from you.
Yes, Daddy.
Were you able to drive to send the lunch to her?
I couldn't take it myself, but I'll arrange for somebody to take it.
At least you did it. Yeah, she wants lunch. What did you send?
Assorted spaghetti.
Spaghetti. You see, his lover knows what she likes. Is that her favorite?
It's one of her favorites.
One of the favorites. So you can see that the lover arranged the favorite. In the midst of the meetings and the difficulty, this young man still found time to sort out spaghetti. Assorted spaghetti. Put your hands together for Pastor Nat. We know the many love that Pastor Nat has been showing. Yeah. He arranged it. He arranged it. Hallelujah. He arranged it. Amen. And it's a clear indication that, look, it could have been a burden. You see, when you don't love the person, hey, would you have to cry? I don't know. Ah. In San Foma, there is this restaurant over there. You can't just walk there and go and eat. Look, you are disturbing me. Hey, hey, hey. And then you go off. True or not true? Yeah. But love has a way of making you go all out to do something that is so difficult, but to do it. Yeah. Yeah. True. Hey, sometimes you notice that actually the money you have, that's all you have. As you are going to use it for something, then your lover says that, "Sweetheart, I want to go and do my nails." Women, I don't know what is about their nails. Do you have some in your house? Nails. Nails, hair, they are appendages, so, but they spend more energy on. Yeah. And then, oh, you ask, "How much?" "Okay, Charlie, there is money in the wallet. Charlie, take as much as you can." But he doesn't know that that's all you have. Love will move you to do things. When you love God, oh, it doesn't matter how difficult it looks, call it sounds. Oh, you receive it with joy and you obey it with joy. You see, when you love somebody, the things that are difficult become easy to do. Because your response is motivated by love. May your response to your lover, may your response to Jesus be motivated by the love that he first showed. By love. Oh yeah. And that is why, you know, when you love the Lord, there are many things that if you have to rise up to do, you must be able to do. Yes, as a Christian. I mean, in this church, by the grace of God, God has blessed us with a wisdom way of bringing about church growth. And the key wisdom way is through the Bacenta system and the fellowship system and the constituency system and all those things. You know, it's our way of expressing our love for God by working practically in the church. Practically. I mean, because what Jesus is building his church. And we are saying that we want to be a part of the process. So, Lord, we are not working for you. Listen, we are not working for the Lord. We are working with the Lord. We are working with him. We are co-laborers. A co-laborer doesn't work for. A co-laborer works with. Apart from the basanta, there are also other things, the basantas. There are other different things that you can engage in. You, when you come, there are various areas. There are some who count money. There are some who give communion. There are some who welcome you. There are some who sweep the place. There are some who clean the place. There are some who gather businessmen who also gather and do. You know, there are various things. How can I express my love to God by helping in building what he is building? So you see that you express your love that way by keeping his word and doing it. May you keep his word and may you do it. Hallelujah. I said, may you keep his word and may you do it. Listen to this. Disobedience is far more grievous than obedience. Disobedience will lead you to sorrowing, regretting, and mourning. Obedience will leave you elated and rejoicing at the goodness of the Lord. May you be an obedient child, and may you obey with joy. I said, may you obey with joy. May you not obey with grief. I said, may you obey with joy. Hey, Charlie, have you seen? Look, normally when I'm working with people and I feel that, I just feel a little bit of a feeling that shows that the person is dragging his or her feet. I will just tell the person, please, you know something? Thank you very much. I changed my mind. You know, you don't need to do it. I wouldn't want to use you. Because what you are doing is not coming from your heart. Oh, yeah. It's not coming from your heart. Would you want to work with somebody like that? A person is like you have a house help, you know? And the house help, when you tell him that, look, when you wake up in the morning, you clean here. First and foremost, put off all the lights. And then you clean here. You do this. You wash the car. You do that. You do this. You do that. You have given all the job description. And then you wake up. And rather, you have to go and wake her up or wake him up. And whilst you are waking him up, he's stretching. Erima Baba ya. Baba Sixa. Did I tell you that story? You like stories. There is this lady who went in for a house help. Now, the house help, you have to wake her up before she gets to the job. So, normally, the madam, Efua, auntie, sir, Well, how about six, sir? Hey. So, Ewi ma ba ba ya. Hey. Ewi ma titiwa. I mean, that you have a person like that in your house. Will you keep such a person? He's asking you whether it's 6 o'clock because you told him that you should wake up at 6. So he's reminding you and asking you whether it's 6 o'clock. But you see, when you love your master. Look, I have a young guy who lives with me, Maule. Sometimes it's amazing. Yeah. He's a son. It's amazing. I mean, the way he does, it's as if he's a machine, he doesn't get tired. I said, look, you have to rest. He said, no. He will just be there and he's looking for something to do. Always looking for something to do. And I always tell people who come around, I said, this guy is one of the greatest prophets the Lord is going to raise. Yeah. 24/7, he's listening to messages. My only problem is that when I call him, I don't get him because the phone is listening to message. So it gives me an engaged tone. Does it happen? When you are listening to message, does it give you? I don't know. But it's like I never get through to him. Number one, he's changed his number about 8 times. So I don't even know which one works. And number two, he's always soaking in tapes. And I can see he has genuine love for me. And I also have genuine love for him. Oh, yes. Anytime you see, the Lord sees your genuine love for him. First, he expressed it. Then you developed it. And you expressed it to him. He will express it back to you. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that your love that you share towards God and towards his work will be a genuine love. It will not be a grievous love. You will not love God on terms. You will not love him on your own terms. But you will love him because he first loved you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I'm telling you that somebody is rising up to become great simply because of your level of obedience to him. By taking his word and keeping it in the midst of your heart. May God bless you this morning. And may he keep you. And may he give you deeper insight and revelation to his word. May he cause you to love him. May he cause you to increase in your love for him. May he cause you to grow deeper and deeper in love for him. May your faith not shake. May you offer your all. May you not look back. In Jesus' mighty name, rise to your feet. Put your hands together for the Lord. Lift both hands to God. Lift both hands to God wherever you are. Cameraman, lift both hands to God. Lift both hands to God wherever you are. We want to pray. I want to pray for you. I feel like praying for you. I feel like praying for you because Job 36:11 clearly states, it says that if you will obey him, and you will serve him. Brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, this word is true. Please, don't doubt it. God's word is so sure. God's word, you see, when you love somebody for what you will get, and you have cheapened the love. You know, that I love Vero, because when she happens to go to London, she'll buy me shirts. So let me love her properly. So that when she goes to London, she will remember me. No. No. This morning, you want to say that, Lord, I want to renew my love for you. I think that my love has grown rusty. How many think your love has grown rusty? Yeah. Because see, economic situations can affect your love. Yes, economic situations can affect your love. Your present day challenge you are going through can affect your love. Oh, yes. There are many people whose love has changed. Yeah. Whose love has changed? And you know why your love has changed? Your love has changed because your love is conditional. Yeah, your love is conditional. But today you want to pray that, Lord, I want to renew my love for you. Help me to be an obedient child. I want to be an obedient child. Help me to be like a little child who is so obedient to your word. Lift your hands to him. And I just want you to express it. Speak to the Lord right now. Father, help me to be an obedient child. Help me to obey your word. My true proof of expression of my love. Help me, Holy Spirit.
Help me, Holy Spirit.
Help me, Holy Spirit, to walk in true love for my Savior. May I recognize what is valuable to the Lord. And I dare tell you that one of the things and one of the key things that is valuable to the Lord is his people. It's his flock. It's his sheep. It's the church. Oh, it's very valuable to him. It's very valuable to him. So what am I going to contribute? What am I going to add on? How can I express my love even within this setting? Help me, Holy Spirit. Open your mouth. Can you lift your hands? I want you to lift your hands wherever you are. We are praying. Lift your hands. Lift your hands wherever you are. Pray to the Lord right now that, Father, help me to be an obedient child. Oh, yeah. When you tell me that I should obey your word, may I be filled with your word by taking interest, by noticing your word, acknowledging your word, by spending hours, minutes, moments in your word. Help me, Holy Spirit. Open your mouth wherever you are. Open your mouth. Oh yes, something is changing about your life. As you walk in obedience, something is changing about your life. Something is changing about your life. Something is changing about your life. There is a release of power. A release of power over you right now as you walk in obedience. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Jesus.
Help me, Lord.
Help me to walk in love towards your word. Somebody lift your hands. Lift your hands wherever you are. Don't get tired of lifting your hands. Lifting your hands is a sign of surrender. Lifting your hands is a sign of total surrender. Lord, I want to surrender my heart to you. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to give my all to you. I want to express my love to you. Help me, Holy Spirit.
Now
look at a scripture. I want to show you a scripture in Romans chapter 8.
Yes.
Romans chapter 8. I'm reading from 28 downwards. Listen, may this scripture stir up something in you. This is Paul's statement concerning his love for God. 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. He did what? He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. I don't know what you are trying to spare for the sake of Christ. His only begotten, he spared him not. He gave him, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all the... I mean, if God gave you Jesus, what else can't he give you? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather than it is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? 35 is the scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That is what Paul is saying. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us? What is separating you from the love of Christ? There is something separating you from the love of Christ. Identify that thing and work on it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations... Tribulation is going through a trying and a difficult time. Trying. This morning, Bishop used the word long ganimity or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Going patiently through a suffering and a difficult time that one day will pay off. Yeah. When you're an apostle, that is what you need. You need a certain heart that is ready to go through a trying time. He says, shall tribulation. When tribulations come, how is your response? Or distress. Hey, when people get distressed, that's when you see derail them. But I pray that distress will not be the reason why your love for the Lord will go cold in the name of Jesus. He says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution. Hey, is that what is going to separate you? Or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. You know what sword means? They place a sword at your neck. Renounce Jesus. Renounce him. And sometimes, the sword they are placing are words. They will just tell you that, hey, you be the creepy guy where you say, waiting. You say, oh, no, not be me. Like Peter, not be me. Because you see, you want to align and you want to be accepted by the worldly people. Let me tell you something. The worldly people, they are never going to accept you. They will only lead you into evil. 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That must be you. You must tell yourself that, Lord, if I need to die for your love's sake, may I be counted as sheep led to the slaughter. Lift your hands. Father, I pray and I thank you for your wisdom.
Yes.
I thank you for your truth.
My God.
I thank you for your revelation. Yes. That we have received. Lord, may our love for you, O God, and obedience for you not be conditional.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, may we give totally Jesus to you.
Yes.
And to your love.
Yes, Lord.
I commit everyone hearing me right now.
My God.
I commit every single soul. I commit every single person hearing me right now.
Yes.
I pray in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
That Lord, our love will go deep. Our love will increase.
Yes.
And become mature.
Yes, Lord.
Tribulation will not stop us.
Never.
Peril will not stop
Never.
Us. Nakedness will not stop us. Persecution will not stop
Never.
Us. We pray in the name of Jesus. That Lord, nothing can separate us from our love for you. Help us. Not just to be hearers, but help us to walk worthy of the call that you have placed on us. We thank you this morning for your great visitation. And we thank you for your great insight you have given us into your word. May we follow the patriarchs. May we learn from their lives. Thank you for the life of Abraham. Thank you for the life of Noah. Thank you, oh God, for all those wonderful people. Isaac and Jacob, thank you for their lives. Thank you for their total obedience. And thank you, oh God, for what they turned out to become. May their stories, oh God, stir us and urge us on to love you deeper and to love you more. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pray for you. As we close our eyes briefly, you walked to church today. Somebody brought you in. But listen, you can never leave this place without knowing Jesus Christ. He is the reason why we are gathered here. He wants to wash your sins away. He wants to give you life everlasting. He wants to save you from your sins. And you want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want Jesus to come into my heart to be the Lord of my life. Wherever you are, if you want me to pray with you, can you just lift your hands? I'm going to do that for you right now. God bless you. I can see your hand. Lift it up high. You want me to pray with you? You want me to pray with you? You want me to pray with you? Just lift your hands wherever you are. Just lift it up. Lift it up. Lift it up. Lift it up. Wherever you are, I want to pray briefly with you. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted your hand, do another thing. I want you to run quickly. We want to do this in the next few minutes. Can you just walk to me right now? I want to pray for you. Walk to me right now. Ushers, help them. Put your hands together for them as they come. Encourage them with a clap.
Come. It's falling.
Beautiful.
His grace will be your covering.
Come.
Blood will
today is your day of salvation. If you hear the word of God, do not harden your heart. He says, I stand at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. Run to the mercy seat of God.
He said that I could come into his presence without fear. Into that holy place where his mercy hours to kneel. Oh,
run to the mercy seat of God.
Moment it is. You are battling for your soul. The Lord is contending for your life. He wants to give you everlasting life. I sense that there's one person who must join us right now. Today is your day of salvation. Don't harden your heart. Just walk to me right now. I want to pray with you. This might be your only opportunity. Take advantage of it. Precious ones, can you lift your hands to God? Pray the simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe with all my heart that you died on the cross for my sins. This morning, I humble myself and I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me of my sins. I open my heart to you. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. From this moment forward, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I confess that he was raised on the third day so that I might receive life. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and dying for me. Amen. Father, we thank you for these precious lives. Oh, we thank you, oh God, for your love that has drawn them close. We ask that, Father, keep them, preserve them, cause them to be established in you. I pray that as they keep hearing your word, Lord, may the seeds of your word nourish them and make them into what you want them to become. I pray that Christ to be formed in them and Christ to be established in their lives. In Jesus' precious name, and all said, amen.